All right, buddy. Oh. God's good, right? Sometimes you don't really have to have a sermon and God can do a lot of work, right? Well, Bill and Joe are traveling and they asked me to share the day. The message, Bill's doing a series, and today's message is called Ready for Love. And he gave me it's from Luke 15. So he gave me Luke 15, ready for love, and then he said, go for it. So here's what came out of that. But the picture I got today of where we're kind of going is I've been praying that God would unlock a door that maybe you have in deep inside that you didn't even know you had, that is keeping God's love from penetrating some part of you. And I thought about it, it's kind of like wearing bowling shoes. A picture of bowling shoes up there. And if you ever go bowling, you know, after a couple hours of bowling, you kind of forget how really uncomfortable those shoes are. And then you put your old shoes back on, it's, oh. And I just remember, I don't go bowling a lot, but I remember that, oh, feeling. And so that's what we want today. I want you to have some, oh, like God just lifts it out of us. His love is, oh, you know, I don't have to strive anymore. So that's where we're going today. I had a, okay, let me start here. My name is Peter Bales. Some of you are kind of new, and so welcome. And I'm kind of new. I've only been coming here about a couple years. My wife Stephanie, we moved here from Nashville, Tennessee, 2.5 years ago, I suppose now. And we've got 5 kids, Noah, Abby, Anna, Tobin, and Eliana. And they're running around back there probably, but we've just been blessed to be part of the family here. We felt at home immediately, and God is just knitting our hearts with yours, and so we're glad to be here, and I love Bill, and I'm honored to fill his shoes, at least attempt to, this morning. So let's pray before we get started. God, we just pray that your word, as we open it up, would penetrate our hearts. And Lord, maybe there's not anything we've got in there, but Lord, if there is some place in our heart we've got a locked door, I pray that you would unlock it, and the door would just come open. And it would be this awe moment when we realize that we don't have to hide whatever that is, whatever we've covered up, and that your love can penetrate there. I pray that you'd fill my mouth with your words today. And I thank you for your spirit, Lord, that's here. You said your spirit is in our praises. Your presence is here. And God, I'm just buckled up and trying to hang on to what you're doing, Lord. And I'm excited that you would visit us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we moved from Nashville, Tennessee. I had a pastor there that really impacted me. His name is Don, and we call him Papa Don. He's older. He actually wasn't the pastor at this church. He had been the pastor for like 40 years, but now he just preaches once in a while. And so I got a lot from him. But he would always say, you know, don't just believe everything I say. He would say, you got to get your Bible and go check it out. And so I'm going to tell you this morning, don't just believe everything I say, because I don't really know. I mean, I'm just trying to read it too. So go check it out. He'd say, you know, check out everything you hear on the TV or you hear a pastor on radio. You got to check them out and get it in the Word for yourself. And then it becomes yours. You have to grab it. And so do that today. And then I did want to share one of the, probably the single most thing that's most impacted my entire life was I started reading the Bible regularly. And, you know, I grew up in the church and I always had trouble like, the Bible is such a big book, you know, it's where to start and all this stuff. And Papa Don shared his Bible reading plan with us. It's probably been 12 or 15 years ago now, I heard it. And it's very simple. It's not one of these year plans, you have to read so much every day. You take 5 bookmarks and you put a bookmark in each of these 5 spots. And that's in your bulletin if you want to, you don't have to write that down. You put a bookmark in each spot. Then you can read at any spot you want. You can read however far you want. You can read 2 spots a day. You can read all 5. But it gives you freedom to read it at your own pace. You don't have to read it in a year. I find it takes me about 2 years, plus or minus, to read through the whole thing. But what's so cool is I know I read the whole thing. And so at the end of whenever I stop reading, I'll put a 14. And that means I read that part in 2014. And so it's just cool. I can look back and, okay, I read this section in 02, 07, and you know, and it just helps me know that I've covered the Bible. And what's really cool too is you're reading in the old history and then you get the prophets and you read the gospels and it goes together because it all is the same story in different, ways of God telling it to us. So anyway, I had to share that today because it's been so huge for my life. And even if you hear nothing else I have to say, and you start getting into the Word, because God will speak to you through it. Okay, you don't have to be a pastor or any kind of smart person. I mean, he loves the people that aren't really educated, right? I mean, he will speak to you. And sometimes we educate ourselves out of hearing his voice. And so I'm getting further about that. Okay. Parables. We're in Luke 15 today. And Luke 15 starts out with the Pharisees looking at Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, why do you keep hanging out with the sinners? You go eat at their house? He said, come hang out with us, right? I mean, these are the religious people of the day. And so Jesus wants us to know what he wants us to understand his kingdom. A parable is kind of like Jesus trying to explain heaven to us in words we can understand. Right? Heaven is just beyond our understanding. You know, he told Nicodemus in John 3, he said, I've tried to explain this to you, and I've tried to help you understand earthly things, and you can't get that. How are you going to understand heavenly things if I go there? So he's like, I would love to tell you all these mysteries of heaven, but I have to take it in small pieces because you just cannot grasp it. And so he tells three different stories in Luke 15 to try to help us understand why is he hanging out with sinners. All right, and it goes back to his love. Make sure I'm staying with my notes here. Jesus is crazy in love with us, and that's what this whole thing is about. We don't grasp it because love in our society is not like God's love. All right, you hear songs about love. Almost every song is about love, and then you're like, you know, the song might say, "I'll love you for now" or something, and it's like, that's not how God loves. He doesn't love for now. He doesn't love because you do something. He just loves. It's who he is. The problem is that often we are unable to receive it. He desires intimacy with us, and we've got that locked door. And today I'm going to call that locked door roadblocks. All right, what are the roadblocks that we've got keeping us from receiving God's love? And the first story he tells, he talks about the lost sheep. The shepherd goes searching for the sheep, and he celebrates when he finds it. Then he tells the story of the lost coin and the woman that, you know, sweeps her whole house looking for the coin. And then she celebrates when she finds a coin. And the point here is that you are valuable to Jesus, and he's searching for us. He's searching for you. All right? And he says, I'm not done yet. He's got another story. So he told those two stories, and then he tells what we know is the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, Luke 15, 11. That's where we're heading, if you want to open your Bible. Very good. All right, I'm just going to read here. A lot of you have heard this story before. I'm just going to draw a couple things out of it. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. All right, now you don't have to raise your hands, but have any of you ever read that and been like, oh God, I'm glad I'm not like that guy, right? I didn't take all my parents' money and waste it in wild living, you know. It's easy to do that, but then you think of places where I've had to come to the end of myself. You know, the son had to come to the end of, I've been in sin, and I had to find out that I couldn't fix myself. I couldn't fix it before I had to come to God and learn how he works on us. And I want to make sure we're watching the father in this story. It's coming up in the next section, but the father is kind of the star of this story. We call this the story of the prodigal son. I've kind of looked up some definitions of prodigal, and one I really liked said, prodigal was extravagant, lavish, unrestrained, even to the point of being wasteful. Or some of them I saw said being reckless. So the son, of course, he was prodigal. He was lavish and spent all his money. He was wasteful. But the father, his love is that way. He's almost reckless with his love because he loves us. Even if we hurt him, he loves us. Let's move on to Luke 15, verse 17, the homecoming. Younger son, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." And I imagine they threw quite the party. But so here I see the first roadblock. First roadblock is shame. You guys see his shame? He says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." He just grovels to his father's feet, right? That's the picture I have. "Dad, please help me out. I don't deserve it, but would you help me?" And, you know, shame, some people think shame's a good thing, right? You see the finger? Shame on you, right? You ever hear that? But, man, any of us that have struggled with shame, we wouldn't shame on anybody. Shame is not a healthy thing. Shame doesn't bring out the best in us. Shame takes us to dark places, right? So let's not give shame to anybody. We may do wrong things, and we may have guilt, and maybe that guilt brings us to God. Maybe that conviction brings us to God. But shame has a lie. Here's the lie. Shame tells us we are unlovable. It doesn't just say you did wrong things. It says you did wrong things, and now no one will love you because of that. If people really knew what you were like, they wouldn't love you. You ever had this thought? Maybe you don't think it that way, but you're like, "Oh, I got to keep that hidden or they won't like me anymore." We kind of picked that up in school. I know I did. It's like, man, if people really knew, I have to put on this veneer so that people will love me. And then we grow up and we keep that veneer and add another veneer and another veneer, and people don't ever get to know the real us. And in God, I mean, when those veneers come off and you can be yourself, it's so freeing. It's so freeing. And that is the that's the ah moment. When you can just be yourself in front of God. And boy, it's a gift if you can start maybe with someone really close to you. You can open up and let them into those dark places, and then you can be yourself with one other person, and you can experience God's love through them. And it's another, I don't have to put on a veneer. I know in my life I got tired of living the double life with the veneer. And anyway, so the Father is searching for us. He's still waiting with open arms. Let's go to Luke, now verse 25. The older son. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So in that section, I see roadblock number two, which a lot of people call orphan mentality, right? Or some people say servant mentality. The brother, the other son, he was at home. He was with the father, but he still wasn't with the father, right? He was a servant in his mind. He was like, I've obeyed every order you gave me. I kept your law, Dad. You never gave me a goat. And the dad says, "But son, go take a goat. They're your goats." Right? You are in the house. You're not just a servant. You're my son. Everything I have is yours. like to pause and let that sit in. Because that starts to affect everything. If we are sons of God in a lot of respects. He's making us to be like his son Jesus. He called us sons and daughters. One symptom of this is kind of a false humility sometimes. We feel like we aren't supposed to look good or something. We're supposed to have this, a lot of us, we have this conviction that we just aren't worth very much. It's a false humility, because in God's eyes, it's not that way. He sees us as his son. He doesn't see Peter and sees his shame. He sees Peter, my son. My sin is forgotten. That's what the Bible says. I think a lot of times in church, we come out of being the first son, and we end up being the second son. We come out of sin. Maybe we aren't saved yet. We're out and doing what the world does, and we get saved. So now we've come into the house, right? But we still have, we go from being rebellious to being religious. We go from acting in sin to now we're following all the rules, just like the son said, I follow the rules, Dad. And he's like, but I love you. We don't have to follow the rules to get God's love. It's there. You know, we might do good things out of our love back, but we don't have to earn his love. I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over, but it's true. Sometimes I have to hear it over and over. It's just kind of hard to wrap your mind around. God sees me that way. I don't have to do all these things to get God's love. He wants relationship. Well, there's a verse in the New Testament where Jesus says, desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that comes out of the Old Testament. One of the prophets said that. And Jesus is saying, I don't just want your sacrifice. I don't want you just follow the law. I want relationship with you. I want to be your friend, really. I want to work things out with you. Let me show you how, let my spirit come and love you. And anyway, around our house, we always have to be careful when we start hearing each other say the word should. Right? So, we get to the end of a day and we're like, oh, I should have done this and got this done, and I should be doing this, and there's this thing I should be doing. Right? And sometimes we have to check ourselves, because that is the orphan mentality at work. It's this feeling of, I have to do these things in order to be okay. So we call it a case of the shoulds. So stay away from the shoulds. But that's those little things. You know, it's not just this big concept, oh, I'm a son of God. How does that translate into our daily life? Well, in my daily life, I get done with a day and I feel worn out. I feel like I haven't accomplished anything, and so God must not be happy with me. I feel like I should be doing X, Y, Z more, read my Bible, pray, whatever. But God doesn't need that stuff from you. I've got a story to illustrate. There's a missionary named Heidi Baker, and look her up. She's amazing. And she's in Mozambique, and there are amazing miracles. You know, people come back from the dead and stuff. Amazing miracles happening there in Jesus' name. Anyway, she's an orphan to missionary, orphans. And she's actually taken a few of these orphans into her home and adopted them as her own kids. And she tells a story about, she has this her one son named Ramadan. She brought him into the home and she's explaining to him. He's lived on the streets. He'd never been in a home at all. She's like, okay, over here is the refrigerator. Inside the refrigerator are some Cokes. You can just go help yourself. All right, this orphan child, who's now a son in the family, was like scared to death of the refrigerator, right? Oh, I wouldn't dare touch the fridge. That's yours. And then she talks about the joy on his face when he finally realizes he can just go have a Coke, that he's part of the family. I mean, it's a simple story. I think about it all the time. We can go have a Coke out of God's refrigerator, right? He says, everything I have is yours. Help yourself. It's available to you. How many times does he say, you know, you can do what I've been doing. You can have the same spirits in me as in you. It's available. It's so huge. Anyway, I want to take some time to pray. Maybe you're connecting with this. you know, I know shame and this stuff takes time. You don't just, well, God could deliver you, but usually you have to work through some things. I found this quote. My dad, who's here, and I'm glad he's here today, but he gave me a book when he heard I was speaking today called Baptism of Love by Leif Hetland. And I put all this in the bottom of the bulletin. I put some extra things because I had way more than I could fit in this morning. So I go, especially that first video is worth checking out on there. But anyway, here's the quote. Man, it's on the first page of his book, Stop Me in My Tracks. He says, man's pursuit of happiness will end the moment he has an encounter with God's love. Man's pursuit of happiness will end the moment he has an encounter with God's love. In other words, all that stuff we are pursuing to make us okay will just leave us empty because that's not what it takes. It leaves us sick and worn out, tired. You ever feel like you just, it's like, oh, I'm so worn out and tired and weary. You know, that's, you're probably not pursuing, you're probably pursuing too many things that aren't filling you up because God says, in me is rest. You don't have to do stuff for God. Anyway, it's all been big in my life. I wanted to share it today. And to end here, I've got a video. And I will pray, I want to pray that God will touch you through this video. It's just scripture, and it's put into a love letter from God. It's all the Bible. It's all words from scripture, and it's God's love letter to you. And it's, I pray that it is powerful in your life. And then, so we're going to watch this, and then we'll finish with the last song.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Let's just take a moment to pray. Is this on? We don't have to rush on. I pray that that touched you, and you can go watch it again and let it sink in. Lord God, we thank you for your love for us. It is amazing. It is beyond what we can even grasp. Help us, Lord. Reveal it to us. Reveal more to us, Lord. You